they were quite clear in their own minds about what was different this time. They know that they have really botched it in the last few years. They kept making peace deals. The peace deals would fall apart. They cited three factors. The first was they sent in enough military force. They sent in two divisions, which totals roughly 30,000. The second thing was that they knew that to use real firepower against the Taliban guerrillas, they needed to get the civilians out of the way, that the Taliban do hide behind civilians. That's part of their protection. So they moved about 2 million refugees out of the Swat Valley. That looked like a disaster to a lot of observers, but that allowed the army to be more aggressive in chasing them out. And then, interestingly, they have managed to get most of those refugees back in. I couldn't tell you for sure what percentage, but certainly people are back in the streets. The markets are full. And the third thing, which arguably is the most important, is that they felt they had the public with them in the Swat Valley itself, where people were fed up finally by the Taliban's ways, which were very brutal, and in the country as a whole. Pakistanis, I was told again and again, have decided in the last 6 months, enough is enough. And I must say that the army's actions in the Swat Valley against these Muslim militants are very popular. That's a change from where they were before, I got to say.
While you were there, you spoke to some adolescent boys who had been pressed into service by the Taliban at the point at which Swat was under the control of the Taliban.
The Pakistani general mentioned to me that when the Taliban had taken control in Swat Valley, they'd made a practice of asking every household to turn over one young man for, in effect, military service. And when the army went in, they found these young men traumatized in Taliban control, and they realized that they couldn't just put them back in mainstream life, that they were too shaken by what they'd been through. So the army created a rehabilitation facility. As I walked into that facility, one young man, I'd guess he was 15, strode toward me with a light in his eyes and gave me a smile that was special. It was from another place. And as I walked away, the commanding general turned to me and said, "That boy was being trained to be a suicide bomber." Again, I think undoing all of the social, political, cultural damage of this period in Swat will take a long time. But you do have the sense visiting that the Pakistanis have started.
People should know that the Swat Valley was long a beautiful tourist area, a destination. A lot of Pakistanis would go there. Waziristan, the other place you went, is quite different. It's a lawless tribal area, and I gather you had to pick your way into the area very carefully, even when you were flying.
South Waziristan is the wildest, most rugged landscape imaginable. It's a place that even the intrepid British explorers often feared to enter. I'm told that on old British maps of that area, when you get to South Waziristan, you just see a lot of white space because it wasn't well mapped. So we landed there. This Pakistani Major General served me tea after my arrival with an orderly dressed in white gloves and a marvelous uniform with a red sash. It was like going back 100 years. But he told me, and others told me, that the Pakistani army is now ready to go on the offensive against the Taliban. They're ready for a tough campaign. A lot of people are going to get killed in this campaign, and they know it. But again, it's a sign, if you believe the Pakistani commanders, that they've realized they just can't keep making peace deals that fall apart. They've got to get more serious.
David Ignatius is a columnist for The Washington Post, and he's just returned from the border regions between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Thanks very much.
Thank you.